loves to study it and to share it. And we, you know, challenge each other and whatever. So it's a real blessing for me to be able to introduce Mike for the two afternoon sessions.
Hello, folks. Good to see you all. I'll say a couple things. One is for these guys putting this on. All of the people that are involved in putting this concert. Well, I've been hanging around with those guys. putting this conference on. We understand back in Wisconsin, God's country, how it is to put on a conference. And you want everything to be perfect. You want everybody to be comfortable. You want everybody to have a good time. And, you know, Barney fixed up this place. And how these people have taken care of us, it's like, oh, man, I want to live here. Matter of fact, we're going to share it between Forrest, he's shaking his head, and Barney's house. We're moving in. And just coming here, it's just beautiful. It is. It's a I needed to come here.
You ever been here in the summer?
No, but that, yeah, somebody told me that at 10 a.m. everybody kind of crawls in like mice or something. But yeah, okay, well, that's, yeah, if I was loaded, I'd have two places. But, unfortunately, I'm not. But, yeah, it's beautiful to come here. We needed to come here. As it goes in life, you know, your minds can get really stirred up, really moving, really involved in things. And it's very important. We here are blessed beyond our imaginations. I can just say you that. And I can say this, that our God is, I think, more glorious, and he is greater and more loving and richer than our wildest dreams, too. And it's just, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about a couple of offerings, I should say, that were done in the tabernacle in the wilderness by Israel. And you could say, maybe we should pray. So let's do that. Our dear Heavenly Father, through your Son, the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, our head, our creator, how many things can we say to be thankful for you? Coming here in the flesh, God on earth, walking in the form of man, to save us from the horrible penalty of death. We here have a destiny. Our destiny is in the highest heavens in Christ. There's no doubt about it. We are blessed thoroughly there with everything the Father has to give in the Son. There's no doubt about that. Our flesh just cannot comprehend that, and that's okay, because we are supposed to have faith in you, and that's what you want us to have. You want us to have a faith. As one brother said, you want us to take us at your very word, and hey, let's do it. Let's be smart to do that. The gifts you have that you're reaching out to us in this dispensation are just unspeakable, and we're thankful that we know them, and we pray that we might understand you and all the great things you have for us. And we thank you for your blessing upon this conference, and we pray that these words that are spoken are your words, and that they will touch each heart individually. In the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, amen. I'd like to also say for the last speaker, I'd like to give him a hand.
Amen.
Who was that again? Who was that? Yeah, that was great. And and the other two guys, I'm like, oh man, well, how can I follow these guys? But what I'm going to do is I'm going to look into a couple of the offerings of Israel in the temple in the wilderness. Now, you might say, well, what does that have to do with the calling of the Church of Jesus Christ's body far above all things? Well, I'm going to say this to you. Okay, this is what I'm going to say. Well, if we went through 3.5 chapters of the book of Ephesians, I could come up to you and say to all of you good students of the word, I could say, could you adequately explain to me the need for the blood of Christ? Ephesians 1:7. Could you adequately explain to me what redemption is? Ephesians 1:7. Could you explain to me what the Holy of Holies are? Ephesians 1:8. Could you explain to me what trespasses and sins are? Ephesians 2:1. Could you explain to me what the significance of being in heavenly places? What's that? In Christ. Ephesians 2:6. Could you explain to me what the middle wall of partition is? Ephesians 2:14. Could you explain to me what the mystery of Christ alone is? Ephesians 3:4. And what, you could say, well, what are you rattling these things off for? Because all of the things that I spoke about here really quickly, and there's a lot more in Ephesians, don't necessarily talk about the calling, which is the Church of Jesus Christ's body at the right hand of God in the super heavenlies. But they all have to do with it. And they all build, they are building blocks to it. So what I'm going to do today is, I also want to mention this. Anytime you read the prison epistles, this is how I look at it. And, you know, for whatever that's worth. But it's like treasure vaults. Every time I read through the prison epistle, every verse is a treasure vault. And that's one point I'm getting at. It's like this. Like, let's say I read Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Well, what you're going to do already is you're going to run into foreordination in him before the foundation of the world. You open up the door of that verse, and it's a treasure chest. You're opening up a vault, and in that vault is predestination, preordination, being preordinated, ordained before the foundation of the world. And how about this one? That you should be holy and without blame before him in love. What is holiness? Why does he require holiness? Do you know all these things? See, here's a treasure vault that you're opening up in one verse. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the treasure vault of Ephesians 1:7, which might seem kind of basic, but it's beautiful and it's awesome. And it goes back to the types involved in this tabernacle, because this tabernacle is beautiful. And every inch of it speaks of the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Okay, this is just an outline of the tabernacle in the wilderness. But the point of it is that this tabernacle was looking to the coming Christ. And the coming Christ was the Redeemer. And our Redeemer is found in Ephesians 1:7. Without his blood, and I'm not trying to detract from talking about mysterion truth. I'm trying to point out, when you read Ephesians 1:7, if you can go away from here today and say, oh man, I know Ephesians 1:7 better than I ever did, richer than I ever did. That's my objective. Amen. All right, redemption through the blood of Christ. Without the blood of the Son of God, we are nothing. Amen. We are nowhere. We are lost. It doesn't matter if you think you have a logarithmic times 10 calling in the super galaxies, heavenlies, whatever you want to call it. You have nothing. Absolutely, without the blood of the Son of God, and there's a reason for that. And I'm going to dive. I'm going to seek back. I'm going back into that reason. All right, that's what I'm doing. Okay, so what I'm going to be setting up here is I'm going to be talking about two offerings. Now there were five main offerings that Israel did in this tabernacle. Three of them were called offerings of the sweet-smelling savor. Two of them were not. All right? The three offerings of the sweet-smelling savor. Now, doesn't that remind you of something? Christ offered himself up to the Father, an odor of sweet-smelling savor, right? Okay, well, that is a sweet-smelling savor offering. That is under what's called a burnt offering. Those three offerings were offerings to the Father. They had nothing to do immediately with man. They were offered up to the Father because the Father required something. The non-sweet-smelling savor offerings, two of them, were directed to the Father through man. Christ became something for man. For man. He became the sinless sacrifice, the sacrifice for man's sins, the scapegoat, the mediator. Okay, so that was including man and then reaching up to the Father. That was offerings of non-sweet smelling savor, two of them. So what I decided to do is I decided to take the burnt offering and offerings of sweet smelling savor and the sin offering, an offering of non-sweet smelling savor. And see, already, I didn't know this until like a month ago. Oh, really? Wow, hey, sweet smelling savor. Already we know something, don't we? We read that in the scripture, sweet smelling savor, right? You've read that. Well, now we know a little bit more about that, don't we? We know a little bit more about that. So when we see that scripture again, we can say, hey, that's a little bit more than I knew before. Okay, so let's look into this, and we're going to go all the way back to Adam and Eve. We're going to go all the way back to the fall of Adam and Eve and how terrible that was, by the way. And then from that point on, we're going to see what the work of the Lord is as we go on. Okay, so let's look at a few scriptures. Okay, let's turn to 1 Peter 1:18-21. All right, and I have a lot of information, and it's a beautiful picture, and I just pray that this all comes out the way I know it can to be just these are the Lord's things. I mean, you know, I'm just it's like Artis and I talk about. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a truckload of me, you know, that's for sure. You know, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a truckload of me, and that's a matter of fact, and I know that. You know what? That's good, though. That's good. At least I'm not walking around in pride, you know, at least. 1 Peter 1:18-21, and it reads, "For as much as we know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers." 1 Peter was a Acts period book written to the scattered Jews, okay, of the dispersion, you know, but there are things in it that are that transcend all dispensations, right? Like what we're going to read now, verse 19. "But the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." Okay, so all of a sudden we're starting a lamb. Oh, what's with a lamb? A lamb without blemish. Why a lamb? Why not a horse? I mean, with all due respect to the Lord, right? A lamb without blemish. Interesting, right? Goes back. We're going back here now. We're going back to here, all right? Beautiful. A lamb without blemish, without spot, and without spot. Why without blemish and why without spot? I mean, seriously, all of a sudden, here we go. We're going on the trip. Why without spot? Why without blemish? What's that all about, right? Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. That sounds familiar. Because we were foreordained before the foundation of the world. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to have a fact come out at the end of all this. We are very, very closely associated with the Son of God. We are the fullness of the Son of God. And we were foreordained before the foundation of the world, like the blood of the Son of God. These all fit together. They do. I didn't make this up. It's the Word of God, like the brothers have said. Study this Word. This is God's Word. Here's one comment for you. I thought the other day, Mike, is this the Word of God? Is this the Word of God? Yay or nay? Yay, it is the Word of God. Now, if I don't study this Word of God on this planet with this short life, I am a fool if this is the Word of Almighty God. So you're going to have to decide if this is the Word of God and not play around with it. Because if it is the Word of God, and it is, then you are in a great position. And if you neglect this, man, are you a fool. And I'm a fool. Man, are you a fool, Mike. That's what I thought the other day. Man, are you a fool. So where is it? What is it? You know, at 53 years old. What is it, Mike? What are you doing? What are you doing with yourself? What are you doing with your life? You know, this is the Word of God. What are you doing, Mike, with it? I mean, seriously, that's very basic. But we neglect that. I neglect that. Like what? Like I have, you know, like I have a right. And he's always stable. He always remains. Can you imagine taking care of children like us? The kid causes problems. You still love it. Causes problems. Still love it. We do that. We run. We hide. He's still there all the time. That has blasted my mind lately, too. He's still there. You hear it, but he's still there. All right, so, the eyes of a lamb without blemish already. What's with this? This all has to do with redemption. All right, let's turn to 1 Timothy 1, 15 through 17. 1 Timothy 1, 15 through 17. 1 Timothy is a book, post-Acts 28 epistle written by the Apostle Paul. 1 Timothy 1, 15 through 17. This is a faithful saying worthy of all expectation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am first. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What does that mean? What does that mean? To save sinners. What, am I a sinner? What's with that? Hey, I don't know. I don't know if I needed that today. Yeah, hey man, I got enough problems. Howbeit, for this cause that I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should afterward believe on him to everlasting life. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Incredible. Look who came for us. Incredible. Is this true, folks? And if it is, what are we doing? Really? And that here's the faith. The faith. You know, another brother said, he said, the Lord wants us to take him at his word. Did I say that already? Oh, well, I'll say it again. That's what he wants. He honors those who diligently seek him out of faith, right? You know, what is all, you know, I pondered that. I pondered that over. What's the Lord playing games here? What's, you know, what's going on? You know, that's how I think. I'm crazy. And, you know, like, what the Lord? I mean, he created this universe and he wants me to have faith without, you know, hey, show me something, Lord. You know, come on, you know, just show me something. And, which is not for today. No signs, no miracles. And, I know that's true. And how about just a little something? You know, well, he's not going to do it. And see, because he wants me to have faith. And see, there's an extreme great principle there. There's a great principle. He knows, the Lord knows everything. He knows how our minds work. He knows geniuses to the lowest estate person. It's nothing to him. It's nothing to him. No man is anything to him. And so he takes this whole creation that he has and he says, here's my word and have faith in me. And he says, you do that because not a lot of people want to do that because they don't want to know me and I'm going to reward you. That's what he's doing. That's what he's about doing. And praise the Lord, we know that. I mean, praise the Lord, you're sitting here and you know just that. Okay, so, we're going to look at a sin offering and we're going to look at a burnt offering. Sin is not only what mankind does, but also it's what mankind is. Mankind has a nature that's root is sin. We are not sinners because we commit sin. We commit sin because we are sinners. And we are sinners, and this is what he came to take care of. And you have a brief time here, brief speck in history on this revolving planet, such a brief time. And in 30, 40 years, this room will be empty with something else going on in it. Matter of fact, it will. That's a fact. Somebody else is going to be sleeping in your bedroom. I told that to one guy at a conference. He said, oh, no. Oh, no. How could that not be? You know, he's going to be 100. What's he going to be, like 500 years old? Oh, no, no. Nobody's going to be sleeping in my room. Yeah, so what? You know, come on here. So let's look at this. We're going to look at a burnt offering. And we're going to look at a sin offering. Now, let's go back to Genesis. What I'd like to do is I'd like to give me somebody give me a hands up. See, at maybe 50 minutes, what I'm going to do is I might run over a little bit both these times. Are you ready for that? Because of some of the stuff I want to cover. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, you know what I'm saying? I mean, both of these might go 55 minutes or something like that. Or maybe it'll end early. I don't know. But I think I should get through this, okay? So when you guys start getting a little... you know, get a little tired of this, just, you know, like, give me a hands up and you can take a break, okay? So, where are we at now? Oh, my wife raised her hand already. yeah, she's 21, we had 21? Okay, so we have about 30 more minutes. Yeah, my wife, she backs me up. Oh, by the way, I wanted to say this, that I know the speakers that were up here already, and all their wives are saints with a big S. Did you get that? Amen. Yeah, amen. Yeah. So that was kind of a joke, but what? What did you say?
I said it
first. Oh, you said it first. Yeah, Ronnie said it first there. Okay, so let's turn to Genesis 3. What happened? What happened with the fall of man? All right. Now we can really, when we get Lucifer involved in this, when we get a creation that was before Adam involved. We could go on and on with a really great study in this, but mankind was given a restored earth, and he was given dominion over it. So I believe that one of the reasons why he was attacked, him and his wife, were attacked very early, is because of that very reason. Because he was given a work of God, and he was set, and if his will continued to be with God, he would have been in great shape, and he would have been a good worker for the Lord. But something happened, and we know about that. But let's read about it. Genesis 3, okay, 1-24. You've read this many times before, but it all has to do with what eventually happened in this tabernacle with the offerings, sin offering, burnt offering, work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb without blemish before the foundation of the world, redemption, the blood of Christ redeeming you. Beautiful package. It's starting to grow. See it? It's starting to grow. Starting to grow. And I believe that understanding just the basicness of redemption is phenomenal. Amen. Phenomenal. It is. It's phenomenal. And I might not have known it is phenomenally as I do now, as I did 6 months ago. And see, that's what's beautiful about the knowledge of the Lord, ever increasing in the knowledge of God. We're not stagnant. We're increasing. We are. I'm not trying to be a Pentecostal here with the, you know, with the flowing of the energy. No, I'm not trying to do that. But it is true that we have a destiny. We have a destiny, and we are living forever, beginning now, or beginning whenever you came to know the knowledge of the Son of God. You have a destiny. Do you know what? A lot of people, what they have to look forward to is death. Is death. How can they stand it? How can they stand it? We have, I can't even dream of looking forward to death and not being manifested in the Lord. I can't even fathom how you think like that anymore. You know, that's gone. That's gone with the darkness of this world. Okay, so, all right, well, let's turn to Genesis 3, 1-24. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, as God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. That's interesting. You know, I never noticed that before. They weren't supposed to touch it either. All right. And what I believe about this account is there's more than meets the eye. There's more, you know, like a serpent. I don't believe that Satan came as a python, and all of a sudden, blah, 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 he was talking. Come on. He came as a marvelous creature. Sometimes this is a little aside, but I take these crystals and I put them in the sun. I have this one. It's, you know, it costs $40, so that's why I don't have like 10 of them. But I put it in the sun and I spin it. And I stand in the room, and I see all of these rainbows going around me. Now, if I had 12 of them, and I was going to do this, and put it in this room and spin them, and stand in there like that, it could be that maybe this one appeared like that. Something like that, like they were taken back by the wonder of it, by the wonder of him. That's the Nakash, the shining one. That's how I believe he came. They were taken back by the wonder of him, like that. And then they couldn't touch it. That's interesting. I wonder, they couldn't touch of this tree. The fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Well, die, they didn't even know what that was. Do you know that? Yes, lest ye die. They didn't know what dying was. Because, in my opinion, they could have lived forever. If they would have eaten of the tree of life, whatever that means exactly. It could have been food, and it could have been honoring the Lord. See, I think Christ was involved there. I think the will of God was involved, and I think nourishment was involved. I think it's more than just eating a big grape, as they said. It was more than that. It was honoring the Lord, will of the Lord. And there possibly was a glory on them, as opposed to us. And they were naked, but they knew it, but this glory was, it just wasn't like we are. It just wasn't like we are. I mean, we cover up because of shame. I don't want to get weird here or anything like that. But, it's an interesting picture, our human life here, isn't it? Society, human life, all this stuff. You know, these things roll around in my head. I try to, like, figure all this out. And then artists come up and say, the Lord doesn't care what you want to figure out, and he doesn't care what you think, and you just have to take him at his word. Thank you, artists. Have a wonderful day. You know. So, okay, and then verse 5, for God does know in the day ye eat thereof that your eyes will be opened, and ye shall be gods knowing good and evil. Well, my mind says, why would they want to know evil? Did they have any idea what evil was? Knowing good and evil. You shall be as gods. I mean, this is kind of interesting what's happening here. Well, let's move ahead. I'm not going to read this all, but I'm going to state this to you, that they fell. That they fell. And the reason why they fell is this, is because they chose their will over the Lord's. Now, that can seem real simple to you. It can seem real simple to you, but we do it every day. Even artists. Even artists does it every day. There might be areas where you choose your will. Might be a split second over the Lord's. We do it like they did. But see, we have an indwelling Holy Spirit, a seal that's holy, by the way. This all gets back to holiness. And that's what God requires. It's beautiful. God requires holiness, by the way. You're not going to get it out of the box without it. You're not going to see God without holiness. I'm going to read that. So, moving ahead quickly, who was the person that performed the first sacrifice?
Cain.
What? There you go. It was God. Sorry, Tony. It was God. Because what he did is he slew an animal and covered up Adam and Eve with a skin. All right? So God instituted sacrifice of a living being by the shedding of blood to cover up sin right from the start. And he did it with an animal. Why is that? What? Why couldn't he just... say, why couldn't he just say, I don't know, you guys go out and work for a while, that'll cover up your sin, or, whatever, you guys, pray for a while, that'll cover up sin. You know, what is this business with blood? All right? We start getting involved in this whole picture. Okay? Do you understand why God requires blood? Do you? Do you understand why God requires the blood of himself for you? Do you? Do you? Really, these are basic but heavy questions. Goes right to the root of everything. That's the awesomeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? The principles of that underlying sacrifice, Leviticus 17. Okay? Guys getting tired yet? No, that's what you're supposed to say. The answer is no. 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 Want any coffee? I do. But other than that, no. Very good. Very good. Yeah, see, I'm learning something there. What is this? This is teaching people things, how to respond. Okay, the principles of whether we're going to understand this totally or not. The principle of the shedding of blood. Because what's going to happen is, lo and behold, it's going to go back to this tabernacle again. And lo and behold, it's going to run us right into Ephesians 1:7. This is contained in this one verse. Redemption through his blood. Okay? We are going down the trip of the treasure of redemption in one verse. That's the way the word of God is. Just incredible stuff. And I can sit here and I can take this in and I'm like, why did you choose me? You know, like all of us feel. Why me? Why did you choose me? You know, and then sometimes I think, well, I'm worthy of it. But, oh man, then I go out and I look at this creation. We are invisible specks of nothingness. Why would he bother, let alone these wonderful things about himself? All right, I had to mention that because you all can identify with that. Okay, Leviticus 17, 8 through 14. Now, I would say, hey, I would challenge you, why blood? Okay, why blood? People say, oh, Christianity, it's a bloody religion. It's bloody, right? It's bloody, so they, oh man, that's uncouth. A human reasoning thing. I'm not going to get involved in that. It's bloody, it's uncouth. What are they saying? They're discounting the blood of the Lamb of God. Predestined, foreordained before the foundation of the world. That's God's way. It's God's way. It's our problem to understand it. Or if we don't, it's our problem to have faith in it. That's it. You know? So, but I like to understand things, and I think we have the ability to through his word. Leviticus 17, 8 through 14. And here again, you got to give me a hands up if you guys eventually want to take a break. How many minutes do we have for the first session? Yeah.
You're at 34.
Oh, 34. We got like 45, 50, 60 yet? No. Okay. We got about 20-something. All right. And it says, and thou shalt... take a look at this. This is Israel and those that were incorporated into their nation. Talking about sacrifice, right? You say, well, this is kind of mundane, Mike. No, it's not. And thou shalt say unto them, because the Lord chose Israel as being his people on earth. Amen. He communed with them here. He communed with them right in here. Right in the Holy of Holies in here. Right here. And every inch of this is the Lord Jesus Christ. 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 This is where he communed with God, communed with man on earth. This is a tent, a tabernacle. Our atmosphere is a tabernacle. Your bodies are a tabernacle. You know, all of these enveloping things. This is his tabernacle on earth. And, you know, I have a study that can really get involved in this. I love it. I'm just touching on it today. But okay, and it goes on in verse 8 of Leviticus 17. And thou shalt say unto him, whatsoever man there shall be in the house of Israel, or of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offers a burnt offering, okay, or sacrifice, and brings it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. This would be actually right here. Hey, Barney, can you flip on number 2? What I want you to notice is that the entrance to this place is from the east. Okay? The entrance to this tabernacle is from the east. Oh, there it is. Here it is. Okay? Here's the tabernacle. Here is the entrance. This is east. This is north. This is west. This is south. And what's excellent about this is that as you enter, it's God's way. There's no other way. As you enter this, you have to go through His way and not your own to Him. All right? And that's how He made this. There's one entrance. There's no other way out. Okay? You get through the first veil. There's no windows in here either. And so you keep on moving towards Him. His way, not your way. That's one point of this. All right? Remember, this is the east here. This is the west. Remember that. We'll get to that a little bit. And so it goes on to say in verse 10 of Leviticus 17, and whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, of the strangers that sojourn among her, that eats any manner of blood. Listen to this. Okay? You know what Satan worshippers do? They drink blood. I will even set my face against the soul that eats blood, and will cut him off from among the people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement. What's that? Okay, what is atonement? Oh, all of a sudden we're into something else. What is atonement? Do I need atonement? Right? Atonement. Atonement goes along with Ephesians 1:7, being redeemed. What is atonement? What is being redeemed? See? And for your souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. This is God's principle. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you should eat blood, neither shall any strangers or sojourn among you eat blood. So if you came unto them, you weren't supposed to eat blood either, or else you were ousted. Okay, so, and whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel or of strangers that sojourn among you, which hunts and catches any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it, for the life thereof. Thereof I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat of the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eats it shall be cut off. And every soul that eats that which dies of itself, or that which was torn with beasts, whether it be of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, be unclean even until evening, and then shall he be clean. But if he wash them not or bathe his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity. So this tabernacle was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually what it was a picture to lead you to him because it fell short. It fell short without him. So for hundreds of years, Israel would commune with God for their sins, whatever that means, and it all pointed to the coming one. And even in their sacrifices told of that, by the way. I learned that. Even their sacrifices spoke that they weren't adequate yet. All right. Now, it starts getting involved, but I hope that you can deal with this as we go. Hebrews 9. Let's turn there. And then maybe I'll start picking this up a little bit more just so we get the main points of it. But I believe. Here again, this is Ephesians 1:7, explaining redemption through his blood. Part of your calling, by the way. Without it, you'd be nothing. You'd have nothing. God himself came here in the flesh. Incredible. Amen. Amen. God himself. Born of a virgin. We can never get away from that. Should we think heavily and study heavily on another calling? No. I'm not saying that at all. But the more we study the scriptures, the more we're going to understand our calling. And every scripture that you study is going to help you understand that. You can't avoid it. Even if you're falling asleep like Barney said, what to Numbers or something like that. Oh, you know, you're reading these passages. It all works together because the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. You know, so that's really all I'm doing. Hebrews 9, 11 through 28. I hope you're, I hope that blood isn't all rushing to your guts right now, is it? You know, I know about that a little bit. Are you getting tired? What?
No.
Okay, better. That's better. You're not getting tired, are you? You're not thinking about bailing out of here, are you? Okay, very good, very good. Hebrews 9, 11 through 28. This is awesome. Okay, and then if you guys want to take a break, just start raising your hands, okay? All right, here we go. This is awesome. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not with this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Listen to this. He entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hey, Barney, can you flip to the next one? What is this holy place? Okay, now. Okay. Can you flip to the next one? Barney. I like that funny. Can you flip to the next one? Sorry, Barn. I'm messing you up, I know. I'm sorry. Oh, well, here we go. Can you turn that around, Barn? When? All right, here we are.
Where'd you get these pictures from? What are they?
How much you got? I got these through Rose Publishing. You can get a set of them for like $40. These are transparencies that Mr. Barnabas Bagby put on his gizmo. Usually, I'd be sitting back there with one of those.
A few years back.
Yeah. I still look, but. You know, now they want me to become a techno geek, and I'm trying to quell that. But this is notice that. Remember, we looked at the tabernacle from the outside. This is the first veil. This is the holy place. Okay, so Christ entered in the holy place, not made with hands, in the heavenlies. This is a picture. This is a whatever the Lord wants us to understand. This is a type of the heavenly tabernacle. This all goes back to Lucifer. All goes back to worship. The thoughts and knowledge that can be known in the scriptures about all these things. You know, it all works together. Lucifer was a keeper of the throne of God, and I'm sure knew about such things. About such things. He knew about the worship of the Almighty. By the way, he was God's music man. And he could have been God's representative or intermediary between spirit beings and the Almighty himself. At any rate, this is the holy place in here. And this is the second veil that rent when Christ died. This torn in two, and behind this is the Holy of Holies. What is all this? What does all this mean? Right? We are the Holy of Holies. Did you ever hear that? We are the Father's heritage. Mind-boggling, mind-blowing, blasphemous statements almost. We are the Father's own inheritance. Heritage. It's a fact. How do I know that? Can I prove it? That's what the scripture says. That's what the book says. We either believe it or we don't. Oh man, you're just a short Polish guy. You weren't very rich either. So what? You know, so what? The Lord doesn't work in the way that man thinks he should.
Amen.
Amen. It doesn't matter who you are, where you came from. It doesn't mean a hill of beans to him. He uses the foolish things, the weak things of the world, the ones that aren't mighty, the ones that aren't rich. Not very many. Hey, that's a fact. That's a fact. It's a beautiful fact. Praise the Lord I'm not Howard Hughes' kid or something. Not saying that he couldn't be saved either, but... Yeah, so this starts talking about the holy place and the Holy of Holies, which you guys say, hey, we're part of the Holy of Holies. Well, can you explain to me what that is? Can you? Can you explain to me? Did you find that in Colossians? Did you find the explanation of what the Holy of Holies is in Colossians? No, you didn't. How about in 2 Timothy? No, didn't do that either. This is the type of the tabernacle in the heavens, and it's all speaks of Christ, and this is where Israel, a high priest, went behind this veil once a year for the sins of the people, to the Ark of the Covenant, and he communed with God himself in the Holy of Holies, back here, behind the second veil. These are cherubim, by the way, on this veil. And, I mean, this gets really involved. We could start talking about the intricacies of all this. No windows, solid gold. So when you walked in here and this golden lamp was lit, it would be like flashes of light around. And then this high priest would burn incense as a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord here on the tabernacle of on the altar of incense. It all has to do with the Lord. See? It all has to do with the Lord. See? Yeah. And so, let's go back to verse 12 of Hebrews 9. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us all. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifer, sprinkling unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more, listen, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause he is the mediator of the new covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a covenant is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator, or a, you know, I don't know what word you put in there. Where there is a testament, there has to be the death of a testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. This is something that we have to understand. This is something that the Lord would have us to understand. But it has to do with the life of the flesh is in the blood, and God requires a life for a life. And we saw that when Adam and Eve fell, when Adam and Eve fell, they had to relinquish that life. And they went from a state of certainly having the capability of living forever. Hey, they were human like you, living forever under the will of God, with the glory of God upon them, to being cast out and dying. So I'm going to propose to you that when that happened to them, it was horrible. They had no idea. They were hit like a ton of bricks, maybe. Horrible. Very dark. First son, a murderer. Wow. What a fall. I mean, really. What a fall from grace. What a fall that happened to them. And then you're their progeny. We're kind of in trouble. Save for the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Because if you don't realize you're in trouble, you're a fool. I'm a fool. I'm not saying, oh, you're a fool. No, I'm saying we are fools if we don't realize we're in trouble. And this world, the flesh, the world, the devil will hype your brain up until you're dead. It's crazy. It is. The world will hype your mind up, and then you'll fall over dead, and they'll go, oh, Barney's gone. What a shame. Oh, that's too bad. Crazy stuff. Minus the Lord, really. How can they, and then they build they build economic structures to that. Oh, when you retire, you should have $2 million. How do you know you'll ever get there? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's sick. It is out there, minus the Lord. So, I mean, that's a little aside there. But, all right, how are you guys doing? Yeah, you ready to, you want to take a break? Would you like to take a break? 50? Okay, let's take a break. Okay, you got 30 seconds. No, let's take a break, a couple minutes, you know.